Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sandra Mendez, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcasting session coming to you live with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her account in life. This is a recap from last week's show on Saturday night. Night topic was on how to deal with insecurities. Unfortunately, we had got cut off from the previous show, so I'm just here to do a recap of what I spoke about in last week's show and to actually speak about how to deal with insecurities as a person, as a woman, as a man, and so forth. Okay, so last week I talked about why do most people become insecure, and I spoke about how a lot of people develop insecurity through lack of trust in oneself, and some people having like a outdo mentality or attitude towards other people and themselves, and when it comes down to having an outdo attitude towards themselves, it could be perhaps being an overachiever. So sometimes that can cause some insecurities within other people, you know. So I also talked about what are insecurities. And I talked about how insecurity is when a person isn't certain about something or someone. And it can cause feelings of anxiety in a person. And it's usually a clear indication of a lack of confidence within themselves. So I spoke about that, and then I talked about how do most people develop insecurities within their life. And some of the things that I mentioned was how people who are people pleasers can be unhealthy and can cause insecurities in people who are people pleasers. Because what happens is that, you know, those people look for validation from other people when they are always trying to be supportive, always trying to just be there for someone and, you know, making sure other people are happy other than themselves. You know, those things can lead to unhealthy, you know, aspects within the person and lead to insecurities. Another factor is that I mentioned was developing false beliefs and pride about oneself could lead to insecurities. And then I talked about how sometimes childhood traumas could lead to someone feeling insecure about themselves. And the number one factor that a lot of people can relate to is when, you know, you develop certain types of inadequacies about, you know, either your abilities or appearance in life. And, you know, some people could be insecure about those things. And I talked about that in depth in the previous show. And I also mentioned and shared, you know, some of the insecurities I've had growing up. and I talked about some of the false beliefs about men that I had, the lack of balance between masculine and feminine energy in my life. And then I also talked about how being a perfectionist can sometimes, you know, have led to insecurities for myself. So some of the false beliefs, I would say, in particular, that I developed over time about men were not to depend on men, because sometimes it may lead to them lying, taking advantage of you, or mistreating you as a woman, which caused me to be more independent rather than interdependent with masculine energy. So I'm just giving you an example of a false belief that I mentioned in last week's show about my insecurities. And then I talked about not feeling validated by a man's presence, provision, protection, and productivity in my life because there's no one present at the time. So I shared, you know, some of, you know, the most intimate parts of myself on the show. And if you're interested, you can always go back and listen to last week's show. However, I wanted to talk about how to deal with insecurities. And I wanted to talk about how, you know, people can overcome those insecurities. And it's all about being patient with yourself and being able to be honest and authentic. That's what it takes to be able to combat any type of insecurity that you have as a man or as a woman in particular. Okay? So some of the things that I talked about was how a person can accept their position and place in life. So what I meant about accepting your position and place in life, what I meant about that is based off of your responsibilities, your obligations in life, and you being able to do an assessment on those things and understanding realistically, you know, your contributions in life in that position and how you are growing and evolving as a person is what's most important. And when you can be real and authentic about your position in life, gearing towards your responsibility and obligations, that can alleviate some insecurities within your life. Okay? And then I talked about accepting your place in life. You know, understanding that you are where you are and you are where you're meant to be at in life, and not to ever compare yourself to another person. Now, I always say comparing where you don't compete, because your life journey, your whole life in general is unique and different from the next person. So why would you compare your life to someone else? You know, that makes sense. So it's all about one factor, an intangible aspect of dealing with insecurities is understanding that, okay, your peace of mind is important, right? That's a place where you need to be in life, where you're allowing whatever that's going on around you to be ineffective, like not affect you in any kind of way where you're either getting out of character or you're becoming discombobulated that you can't function in life, but you're getting to a point where you're going to have peace, and that peace is going to be still within you, whereas nothing is going to trouble you. So when you can get to that point, believe you me, any form of insecurity that you have will diminish over time. Okay, and it will become a thing of the past. So it's all about accepting your position and place in life. Another factor of how you can deal with insecurities is recognizing your journey, meaning your path in life. And as I mentioned before, how everybody's journey is unique and peculiar to whereas, you know, everybody's struggle is not the same. You know, everybody's story is not the same. So when you realize that you are where you're meant to be at in life, you'll understand that it's a process, and that each process, it determines and measures your growth in life. So at the end of the day, it wouldn't matter if someone is either behind or ahead of you. It's all about you becoming self-sufficient and solid within yourself to be able to move on to the next step and journey in your life and on your life path, especially when you're discovering your purpose in life, when you're on that right path and not just living on purpose. Too many times people live on purpose rather than living with a purpose. Living on purpose, whereas, okay, they just doing a routine thing, you know, don't really have any ambition, and they just here existing. That's someone who's living on purpose, opposed to someone who's, you know, recognized their journey, on their path, focused on their path. You know, you may not know the end goal of how the outcome is going to be, but you're continuing on that path, right? So recognizing your journey and being able to discover your purpose along the way is so fulfilling in life. And you'll realize that in when you are in that living out your purpose, you wouldn't have any form of insecurity. You may be unsure about the end goal, but at the end of the day, you won't feel insecure. You'll feel secure within yourself because you'll have a healthy trust for yourself when you recognize that your journey is unique and it's your path in life. Okay? Another factor is acknowledge each milestone and stage in life as a learning process. So when you acknowledge that, along with recognizing your journey, you acknowledge that each milestone counts. It doesn't matter how small of a step it is or how large of a step it is, if you're able to do so. But acknowledging it and understanding that it is a process, and you're not trying to skip, cheat, or, you know, outdo a situation without going through the process step by step, because that's the only way you're going to be solid as far as building a foundation for yourself. When people feel like they can cheat in life or feel like they can get over or do certain things, they 9 times out of 10, they don't have a solid and strong foundation in life. And a lot of times when you don't have that solid ground or foundation, it leads to puts a person in a perpetuated state of insecurity constantly, because they know they didn't go through the process step by step. So understand, do not ever, and I always say, don't ever despise the small beginnings you had. As long as you take that first step and you acknowledge that that first step led to a milestone, and then you keep going, you understand that you learn new things about yourself, you discover new things about yourself, and you be able to, you know, share your testimony with other people along the way who you meet in your life in particular. Okay? Another factor would be always be in a constant state of improvement mentally and emotionally. So when I talked about accepting your position and place in life, I also talked about having that peace of mind. And when you can be in a constant state of peace of mind, always, and not allowing anything outside, external, to inflict you internally, you'll be able to focus on the things that are intrinsically important to you as a person, and for you to improve mentally and emotionally. So, given the prime example of a constant state of improvement would be you focusing on self-love in particular. You know, when you're focusing on that self-love, your whole mental, you have mental clarity. You know, you feel confident about yourself. You know, there's no form of you feeling insecure or self-conscious because you're focusing on self-love. And you're not allowing nobody outside yourself to dictate how you should feel about yourself or how you should love yourself because you know what's best for you at the end of the day. Okay, and then being able to develop emotional intelligence is what's also important as well. It's a number one factor. Okay, so understanding that your mental clarity and improvement in life is important and emotional intelligence will alleviate any insecurities, and that's how you can, you know, basically combat the insecurity when you focus on those things in life, okay, your peace of mind. And then being able to forgive and forget the past, in essence, of what you can't change versus what you can change in the future. So I'll give you a prime example. Whatever I've learned in my past, growing up as a, you know, young lady or a child, whatever the case might be, even though as an adult I had to unlearn certain beliefs and relearn certain things, you know, I had to forgive and forget the past and be able to relearn new things that I can change in the future, you know, especially when it comes down to generational curses. You know, sometimes we live with generational curses from family to family, and sometimes, you know, it may take one person being a generational curse breaker, and I feel like that's me, you know, and being able to do that and being able to see things differently and move ahead in a healthy aspect is so important. So being able to forgive and forget your past and understand that what you can't change, leave it in the past and focus on what you can change, such as your journey in life, you know, your ability to forgive and forget, and your ability to be able to move forward in life with a new mind and perspective on, you know, what you would like to achieve in life. Okay, so those things are like within your control, and the development of your character is within your control as well. And last thing, developing a healthy trust for yourself and become the security you seek in others. So in other words, you know how a lot of times people could be distrustful of other people? I always say because it's an indication that a person don't have a healthy trust for themselves. So when you practice self-love, self-respect for yourself, and you develop those qualities, you will be able to have that discernment to be able to have that security factor in other people and within yourself as well. So basically, when you have certain people in your life, in your facility, you'll be able to trust them with a healthy trust, and you won't feel no sense of insecurity as far as feeling distrustful of another person and things of that sort, because you have a healthy trust for yourself. So with that being said, I did say that this is a live show, and if anyone would like to give, you know, any questions, comments, or concerns, they can ask. So I'm going to open up the lines for the time being. 929, you on air?
Hello?
929?
Hello? Yes, hello.
929, you're on air. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello. I can hear you.
Okay, hold on 1 second, hold on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I like the topic a lot, that being on relationships and things like that. But, you know, refresh, some of it was coming in and out. Refresh me again on what the topic was, and I want to give my take on it. Because it was powerful when you kind of, you know, reiterate, but it was coming in and out. So I've got more clarity now that my reception's better. So what's the in totality the topic?
Oh, I was talking about how to deal with insecurities. That's what the topic
okay.
was mainly about, yeah.
Well, everybody, can you hear me? My response to that is that everybody on some level is insecure. You think so, you know?
Yes.
Everybody
I
on
agree.
Some level is insecure, myself included. We've all had insecurities in our lives, and you can turn your insecurities in life into, you know, securities in your life or secure things in your life, because how it works is, you know, like say, for example, you might be insecure around people or being in large groups of people, but that also
mm-hmm.
works as a form of a security system, because you got people who are oblivious to all the people they're around, and those are people that end up getting hurt. So it becomes like a mechanism of protection for you instead of something that is, you know, working against you. You see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
I've noticed that people
who are distrustful, you know, not easy around people, they tend to develop a higher sensory, a perception around people. They could read things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they refer to these people as being paranoid, but the word paranoid only means, para means extra. So, and norm means normal. So it really means paranormal, meaning you're extra normal, meaning your sensory is extra when you, you know, because everybody should have that mindset of not wanting to be around too many people, because, you know, a lot of people got a lot of different energies moving through them. So that can create an insecurity in people, because also a lot of times insecurity comes from people who are throwing off certain energies from themselves, and you might not feel right about the vibes they're giving. You know, because again,
mm-hmm.
Because at some point you got to totally feel comfortable in your own skin. You got to ask yourself,
mm-hmm.
what keeps you from feeling comfortable in your own skin?
That's true, and I think that a lot of times it has to do with the person personality, whether they are introvert or extrovert. So some people that are introvert is more along the lines of being an empath, where they could pick up other people's energies and don't like it. Just like with a baby could pick up when they're around negative energy or negative vibe and don't want to be around a person, you know? But
yeah,
that doesn't mean that they're insecure. It just means that they're picking up certain signals from other people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. That's what I said. Sometimes, that's what I just said. You might pick up certain things from certain people, and it helps in your protection of yourself, whereas other people might not pick that up, you see? And those are the people who end up getting harmed or killed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this
so,
is an excellent topic.
So what are your
topic.
Advice on, huh?
This is an excellent topic you chose to speak on.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't like to address certain things along the lines of insecurities. They might feel uncomfortable about it, but sometimes you got to get to a place of being comfortable of talking about it and addressing it, because that's the only way people be able to combat that that insecurity that they develop within themselves. So it's like when you develop a healthy trust for yourself and others, it kind of alleviates any insecurity. Especially when you work on having certain types of people around you, positive energy, creating an environment of security, you know, is important.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But again, security is something you have to develop in yourself. I found a way to really, the best way to overcome, you want to hear this, and your listeners might want to hear this, the best way to overcome your security, insecurities. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Because I use this for myself every day. So I'm living proof. The best way to overcome all of your insecurities is by making yourself or puffing yourself up extra and really, really putting, you know, more power into the building up of yourself. Because the more and more you build yourself up, be it mentally, be it physically, whatever the case may be, getting in shape and stuff, that you're making yourself better so that your insecurities about your looks and things start to leave. So you got to make yourself better. If you feel insecurity about certain things about your body, nothing builds up your security levels like actually working on yourself, being a self-carpenter, being a self-carpenter of your own frame. That's what I call it. You must become a self-carpenter. You might want to take that and use this. You must become a self-carpenter of your own frame and always be ready to rebuild it.
Yeah, self-improvement, right.
Exactly.
So that's like
become,
when they focus on self-improvement.
Of your own, Be a self-carpenter of your own frame, and you will always be ready to rebuild it.
Right. So, you know, I talked about, I've shared some things about myself as far as insecurities that I had, and talked about the lack of balance between masculine and feminine energy. So as a man, have you ever dealt with any insecurities when it came down to balancing out feminine and masculine energy within your life?
What you mean of dealing with different, like, men and women dealing with in my life, or, you know, or you mean something like within myself?
No, I'm talking about just you in particular balancing out the, your masculinity to another woman's femininity. Like, how did you deal with that? Or did you have any issues, like, being able to relate to a woman, you know, things of that sort?
Well, I don't think it's a man's job to be able to relate to a woman, because if a man can relate to a woman, then that means he a woman. A man will never be able to relate to a woman, just like a woman will never be able to relate to a man. So I don't think they should ever try that. Let me finish one of my thoughts. Now, being that they can't relate to one another, what they can do ultimately is understand each other. In other words, I don't have to be able to relate to you to understand you. You see what I'm saying? And
right.
once, because this is the problem where breakdown in communication comes from, because women, just like certain times men, they feel like they need to relate to each other in order to get along. You don't have to relate to each other to get along, because men and women are not meant to relate to each other. They're meant to understand each other, and therein lies the compromise. You follow?
Right.
So I had to learn
that. Yeah, you made a solid point.
Yeah. And I had to learn that in my trial and error of dealing with women, because that has always been my problem with women, that I try to call myself relating to women, and I can't relate to a woman. And I thought the women could relate to me, and they can't relate to me. All they can do, women can act like they relate to men, or men can act like they relate to an understanding of women, but that's not true. Men lie just like women lie about, you know, their level of understanding of each other, and their, you know, because when you see guys trying to, you know, what's the word I want to say, when they try to sympathize or try to relate to women's issues and things like that, it never comes off as genuine, because you're not a woman. It's just certain things you're not going to understand if you are a man, as opposed to a woman. You see?
So, and your understanding of a woman, in it, like her energy, her femininity, how do you balance it out with your masculinity and understanding her and trying to find balance?
By being who I am as a man and trying to get her to understand it, because it's useless for me to try and get, you know, try to play like I understand. What I can do is try to get a, no, I'm play like I relate. What I can do is try to get an understanding, and once you understand something, you don't try and, you no longer need to feel as though, you know, you gotta go against it or whatever the case may be. You ain't gotta go against nothing no more, because relating to something means you're gonna try and break down these things, and you're gonna try and rotate things in your mind. Like a long time I used to say, you know, my father used to say, you know, women are strange. They got their ways about them, and it's not really for men to try and understand. It's not for, because we're never gonna understand. Just like things about men, women are never going to understand. Like a good thing with this, monogamy. I'm going to go here. I'm going to be controversial for a minute. Monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
No man wants to be monogamous. That's a lie. All men want more than one woman. All right? And I can safely say that as a man who has more than one woman. All men want more than one woman. They don't never just want to be with more one woman. That's a lie. If they tell you that, they're lying to you. The only reason that they do that is because they try to spare women's feelings, because they know women are jealous and envious and, you know, competitive and, you know, combative with one another, and feel as though they have to compete for men. So that a man doesn't have to go through that hell of being made to feel guilty about being attracted to and wanting to be with other women physically, he has to act as though he is happy with that one woman he got, because he don't want to lose the one thing he does have.
Right. So and you made a good point that, you know, I feel like most females get like that versus a woman who understand the dynamic that monogamy may not be, you know, of, you know, a reality. You know, it may not be the traditional thing going on now. But what I would say is that some women could feel insecure. So as a man, you know, a masculine energy, how do you combat that insecurity in the woman for her to not feel insecure? Like, what do you do to show your woman or your women that they could feel secure within themselves just based off of your masculinity and how you take responsibility to each one? How do you do that?
Well, here's the thing. That's why it's called a self thing. It's a self thing because they have to realize that within themselves that it's not a competition. They have to come, because I can tell them as much as I want to know it's not a competition. It's not that I want one woman more than I want you. It's not that I want her over you. It's not about her against you, because women by nature got this idea that everything is competitive and you have to compete for everything. There's nothing to compete for. I don't care if you're the prettiest woman with the best frame, the best everything. A man is still going to want another woman. I don't care how good you are in the bedroom. I don't care how intellectual you are. A man is going to still want another woman, because men are made that way. Men have to have variety when it comes to women. Men have to seek out, because men, let me finish this, because men by nature are predators. Men by nature are providers, protectors, and predators. Those are the three P's of what goes into the making of a man. That produces power in a man. A man is a provider. He has to provide for his woman, his children, his family, community. He has to provide. He has to protect. He has to protect his women, his children, all this other stuff. He has to have the highest level of testosterone to do these things. So if a man is going to be a provider and a protector, then he's going to be a sexual predator. What I mean by that is he's going to want sex. And I don't mean as in somebody's going to rape or do nothing like that. That's this straight extreme. Mm-hmm. But you got men who are going to always have that because they are providers and protect. They're going to always have that sexual appetite that one woman cannot fulfill. They cannot.
Okay. All right, so even in the, let's kind of like beam away from the sexual part of it, because I understand that that's innately in the man, just like a woman's emotion is just as intrinsic to her as well. So, I mean, and usually over time with a woman, she has to develop emotional intelligence to be able to balance out her intuition and her emotions as a young lady and, you know, becoming a woman and things of that sort. However, when it comes down to the women, how do you establish a grounding with them where it's not just based off of sex, but it's based off of something greater and bigger than that, if you're going to have multiple women and it's not just based off of your sexual appetite, if that makes sense?
Well, the thing that you establish with them is security. You don't focus on the sexual part, you focus on the security of it. You appeal to women because of their, this should appeal to women because of a pragmatic mindset, meaning that practically a man who is willing to be with you, take care of you, feed you, take care of children, is a good solid father figure. That is the man that you want for your children. If you have to share that man with other women, then so be it, because there's so many males out here who fail at the test of measuring up to men. So you sell that as a selling point and a grounding factor to women, because women, the only reason women are going to share a man is out of practicality. If they see, look, there's only one man, good man. I'm not talking about a bunch of males out there, because you got a bunch of males out here. You can't make men. Right. You cannot make males into men. That's a misnomer. You cannot make a male into a man, just like you can't make a female into a woman. So now when you deal with a male, you could expect all kinds of chaos and confusion and unrighteousness and unruliness. But when you deal with a man, you can expect the highest shelf of treatment and stand up as far as protection, providing provisions, protection. And like I said, with all of that providing provisions as a good man, things come with that. You gotta deal with the fact that you're not gonna 9 times out of 10 have that man all to yourself. That is the grounding factor, because then the women gotta decide: do I take security and a good father for my children, a strong man, or do I take that over my want and desire to control this man, to have him as my own in a monogamous thing? That's the thing.
But you just said the key factor. I'm sorry for cutting you off. You said the key thing, which is not a reality, is the fact of a woman. A woman cannot control a man. She cannot do that.
I know that.
And once a woman could learn that, that no amount of manipulative tactics or things of that sort is going to work unless she understands herself, her womanhood, and being able to progress. However, I do want to mention to you as a feminine aspect that intimacy and privacy is something that's major with a woman. And I understand that, you know, women could get along with another woman no matter what, but there's also, you know, a grounding point of privacy. And
that's not true. Women
that they desire to have with that man that's not controlling. So intimacy could just be you simply walking in the park with them, or intimacy could be you just talking over the phone, or intimacy could just be you just being with that woman intimately, you know. So it could be either way, you know, that a woman interpret that form of intimacy. But as a man, you have to say to yourself, are you fulfilling that other than, you know, just the provision, the protection, and things of that sort? Because you want to be able to connect with the women that you are with, and you don't want it to just be robotic or, you know, just, you know, I don't want to say excitement, but there's no grounding point in moving and pushing forward. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, so, I mean, you on the other hand, you probably just look at it as, you know, you just doing your part and they doing their part and that's it, and that's fine.
That's
you
true,
might
but
just
that's
keep all, it on a pragmatic
all, in reality,
aspect.
But in reality, mm-hmm. That's all it really is. People doing their part. People who are going to cooperate within a system of order and law, law and order. Men and women, we ultimately want law, we want order, we want peace. And we as mentalists from our community, we as mentalists, that's ultimately what we want, because in order to have strong mind, you need peace of mind. And you cannot have peace of mind with insecurities, hang-ups, emotional
mm-hmm.
things. This is why I advocate the smoking of marijuana. I advocate the smoking of marijuana because that chills your goddamn mind out.
Okay. All right. So I think you gave. I am going to be talking about polygamy and polyandry on my next week's show for Saturday. I will talk about that.
Women are not meant to have more than one man.
No. I understand that, but I'm going to do my research. And I'm going to talk about each aspect of it. And it's not from a feminist aspect or being feminist. It's just given the logistics behind it. Most men can't make logic out of it, but that's the opposite of polygamy. So I was just going to, you know, give more of an educational background of the two.
Right.
And I understand that, you know, most people look at things from a sexual standpoint, but it's not all about sex. You know,
mm-hmm.
when it comes down to those types of religious, you know, aspects.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I thank you for listening on tonight's show.
Okay.
All righty. So you're going to be preparing for your show next, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. I may chime in on the show, and I thank you for coming on.
Oh, you're gonna love this cast tonight. Tonight's cast is going to be, does jealousy exist in the fourth dimension?
I don't think so, because jealousy is an emotion, and people have to outgrow that. If you don't have no emotional intelligence, then you can never achieve the fourth dimension by being that way.
Yeah, but I'm going to give a more of a brighter, a more, are you right? But I'm going to give a brighter, more brighter insight on it.
So why don't you talk about multi-dimension? Yeah, you know about multi-dimensions, right? Why don't you talk about that?
Of course.
Because I think somewhere down the line I'm going to be talking about multi-dimensions and things of that sort, because it do exist, even in
that's
the dimension
always,
that we are in right now.
I always talked about the fourth dimension, the eighth dimension, the 12th dimension, so those are multiple dimensions. But it's only really, really just one dimension, one continuous dimension that you interpret as multiple. There's no real multiples.
You're right. It's one dimension, but it's in a repeated form. So I just say multiple because the same thing is happening in a different spectrum, you know, but I don't want to be too mixy with it. I want to be able to give facts, then to just give my opinion on it. But it is good, something good to talk about, especially pertaining to the Matrix.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Nine one seven, you on air? All right. I thank you all for listening to tonight's show, and I thank the guests that came on for tonight and, you know, giving your perspective and your advice. It was appreciated. I'm going to be closing out the show, and I hope you all have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.